has happened, that continues to happen, and that's what it will always be. You know, the one thing that I do want to clarify while we're talking about roles and responsibilities, one role that is not the responsibility of a field rep is to operate your facility in lieu of your presence. That is not a field rep's responsibility. If you cannot maintain your location, whether you have 1, 2, 3, or 4, then that's something I would strongly suggest you look into correcting on your end as a business operator to ensure that you're not relying on field reps to take your place in your absence for whatever reason. That is not their responsibility. Field reps are State of Connecticut employees. They are not operator employees. And a field rep can assist you at your location or assist you in getting things to your location while you're actively at the location, but they're not to take place of you. If you're not there and if they're doing something in lieu of your position, that's you taking the time off that whatever reason requires you to. But that is not their job. They do not replace your presence. So I need to be clear on that because there's been some concerns with that, and I want to identify that. Vacation time, per our regulations, state it must be 5 days consecutive. So if you need to take a day off here and there, that wouldn't even cover you on the vacation time. So I would strongly suggest that you get your employee situation together, your help together, whatever you need to ensure that you're not leaning on a field rep to be in place of you to run your location. That is not a field rep's job. So I need to be clear on that.
Perfect. And then the committee wanted to add our annual meeting and training topic to this meeting for our annual meeting coming up in September. The reason we added this to the agenda was because prior to COVID, we would have, that annual meeting would be in person at Besby. And of course, we went strictly, the Zoom way since then and conference call. So we were talking about, sometimes it's nice to get us all together or as many as we can for that in-person meeting. And we used to have it on Saturdays. And, seeing a lot of us, some may still do over the counter, but some of us, we're able to, meet on, here we are on a Tuesday at, 3 o'clock. So maybe it could even be a during the day thing on a Tuesday, not necessarily a Saturday. But we wanted to revisit that option of our annual meeting being in person. Obviously, it would, there would be a conference call in option because people that can't get there, but one of the things, when speaking with Tyrell is we're not going to do an in-person for three people, so I don't know how we'll determine whether it's going to be in-person or not, but, I think it's a good idea. I think you get more out of an in-person meeting. People are more apt to join the conversation than just sitting on the phone. But again, depending on people's availability, we don't want to say, hey, we're going to do it in person and then, three people out of, the nine committee members, don't show up, or operators in general. And if, especially if we're doing a training topic, we really want the most attendance, even by not just committee members, but operators as well. So that's why that's on the agenda here today and the topic for training in general. And Tyrell, I don't know if you had any ideas on that.
So obviously in past practice, we've always kind of relied or leaned on the NFB, Terry Smith, to provide a training through his catalog of training topics. I'm just going to throw it out here. And again, the committee, you all can tell me something different at a different time or whatever the case may be. I'm open to any training topic in which you all feel collectively may benefit obviously the program and you all individually, but one thing that I think we could strengthen in our program in particular is effective communication. I think we lack it on both sides, from our administration side to operator side. I think You know, there's areas in which we can definitely improve our communications skills to ensure that people either get it the first time or to ensure that we follow through and completely complete whatever challenges that we're faced with. So I think if there was something in the NFB training log, and again, I haven't looked at it, Keith, I don't know, Keith, Rich, if you guys can take a look and maybe think about if there's anything that appeals to you with that and you should choose, maybe going along the lines of communication, you know, some may disagree, some may agree. I think it's important going forward, especially with this vending pilot program, because this is what's really going to be key to the success of this opportunity outside of just getting to your locations, is effectively communicating with your with the individuals whom you will need to speak with, to just even get in the buildings, to get to the vending machines, to establish an understanding to the person that suddenly isn't at the front desk, that usually is at the front desk, and now you got to explain who you are, what you represent, and what your purpose is. So to ensure that, you know, we all represent this program in a manner it should be represented, while also again, effectively communicating the first time, that allow you to get over the challenges in which you all may face at times, even just on this pilot vending or just in your personal lives or in your other business opportunities. But communication is always something that I think could always use a refresher, just to ensure that, you know, we all feel confident, and it builds the confidence in us to ensure that we can get over any hurdles that we need. But that's just one topic that I would suggest. Like I said, you guys could have something completely different or see other topics fit.
Well, it's not a bad idea. Just talking about the vending route, you know, just this last month, I think there's been some, you know, miscommunication. Again, I admitted confusion on my part, not to anyone's fault. It's just the way, you know, messages were getting relayed. And ironically, I just heard something on the news either yesterday or today about people and their social skills, not necessarily going down by the wayside, but now with the whole COVID and we've been bundled up and, you know, we're having these Zoom meetings as opposed to in person, and, you know, people's communication in general all over the place is not what it used to be. So that might not be a bad topic. Is that something we could look at? You said NFB, where do we look at those topics? Is it
I'll take a look. It's on their website. I'll figure it out. I'll send you the link, and then you guys can take a look and tell me, you know, if there's something that maybe aligns with that. And if not, maybe if it's not under their topics, maybe Terry might already have, you know, something that he can relay and provide as information to that effect. But I agree. I think we can tighten up on that, and I think that would be a benefit to us all, in hopes that, you know, we gain something from it. But again, there might be something else that trumps that. I don't know. I don't want to dictate the...
Anybody from the committee have any thoughts on that as far as training topics or... anything along that line?
I think the communication is a great idea.
Me too.
Yeah. So I would say let's Carter, I'll see what you can conjure up, and we'll try and pick something along the communication line. Hopefully they'll have something. Or if not, maybe we can, I don't know, pull something together somehow.
Yeah, I'll try to see if, you know, if they don't have anything, I'll try to see if there's maybe some outside source that that has that. I know we can use our program dollars to you know, for training. So I'll see. You know, I can't guarantee, but I'll try to find something that hopefully will benefit that in that area. I think it would be good. I think it's something that we all can take from. Specific to our needs, individual needs. So,
and then I would just stress to the committee, if you really want to have, you know, and other operators, an in-person meeting, that you try to make the commitment to get there. I don't know how we're gonna have an RSVP once we get a little closer to fun, because obviously nobody knows today what they're doing in September, but right. You know, we're not going to have three people go to, you know, it's just not worth, it just wouldn't be worth it. So we'll have to figure out what, you know, how many is enough, and I would just stress everyone, try to make it if you could.
Yeah, I agree. We can definitely check back in August, you know, and roll it out in August and see what the temperature's like in August, and shoot for the in-person request then.
This is Brandy. What if we sent like a save the date thing to people? I know that's kind of like, I don't know a better way to say it, but mm-hmm. send them a little, hey, reminder, the meeting's in September, this date, we're looking to do in person, try to clear your calendars and make arrangements now to be in person for leadership and communication training.
Depending on what we get for the thing,
but I'm just saying, even just letting people know.
I agree with Brandy. It's Adam.
Okay. All right, Adam. All right. We got a lot of people already.
We're seeing.
I have a statement to make. This is Shelley. I guess if you really wanted to incentivize, since Tyrell mentioned we've got some, the budget is, you know, we could flex a few dollars. How about catering?
I mean, you know, things can happen. I mean, we can try some things, but I shouldn't have to use that.
Right.
That's
I shouldn't have to use lobster.
That's team building. It's team building over
food. No, definitely.
It's a bond over food.
No, we will. We'll do something. We'll bring food. Yes, we'll provide food. I remember Ed used to buy a dozen donuts and bring back home 11. So, I mean, what was it? Was it the wrong flavor? What was it?
That's right. We did do breakfast when we used to do the early morning meetings. So maybe we can revisit that.
We've actually never done a potluck. If that could incentivize anybody, as long as you're good in the kitchen. Hiring people, don't beg.
No, we can hire. I mean, I think, you know, like you said, the gist of it is you want to be able to utilize the time in the manner it's meant for. So, you know, obviously having it catered, that's one responsibility that no one has to worry about. It's just getting yourself here, and you know, we could do something to cater or what have you.
It'd just be nice to get everyone back together again for that one time a year, and then obviously the rest would be the quarterly, as we're doing today. You know, it wouldn't be every meeting; it would just be this one special one. So
correct.
All right, we'll move forward on that, and then that brings us to. Committee meetings being recorded, and again, this was a committee topic. You know, since it might have been just before the pandemic, before we started doing Zoom, first we had to post our agenda 2 weeks before or 10 days before. Sometimes that poses problems because we get things, you know, even, you know, field. Site visits that come up within that 2 weeks, and then we got to either postpone or do a special meeting. So we were questioning why our committee meetings have to be posted, you know, 10 or so days ahead of time, and then also why we have to be not necessarily recorded, because they can be recorded for minutes purposes, but why they have to be posted on the agency website for any Joe Schmo to sign on and listen to this meeting. And, you know, our concern with that is some people may be more willing to contribute to the meeting if they knew, you know, they may say something or not say something because they know, you know, Joe Schmo from the public is going to be able to go on the website and listen to everything that was said. So we just wanted that to be researched.
Yeah, that's a good one. So I did pose the question to Andrew, and Andrew did provide a response prior to this meeting. And the short of it, and I kind of need more clarification, so I'm going to leave you what I got for the moment, and I'm going to need a little more to digest. But the bottom line, Andrew stated, if the meeting is fully virtual, you do need to make a recording and post it for 45 days. You do not need to do that if it is a hybrid meeting. So I need to kind of digest, well, what makes something a hybrid? Is it me and the staff in the room at Besby and all of you you know, being virtual at home? Is it just essentially offering the meeting as a hybrid option? And if no one showed up at the location, would that still constitute as a hybrid? So I kind of, you know, that's what he wrote to me about an hour ago. That's what I'm relaying. I'll gather a little bit more information, and we can certainly, you know, either I can follow up in an email to you all as to the clarification. He did attach the statute, which I didn't get a chance to really read to digest. So, but that's what he told me. That was the short of it.
Okay.
So, but yeah, to your point, Keith, in past, you know, obviously we always recorded meetings, but it was for the purpose of note-taking. I do recall that for sure.
Right.
Never really to have it posted on the website. So, they're based off of Andrew's response, there may be a way around the need to record, and that's to maybe changing these meetings to hybrid. But I need to determine if hybrid means I need some staff from or some individuals from the committee in person, at least one, maybe a chairman, or does the administration side constitute as, you know, being in person, having these meetings as hybrid. So let me get some clarity, and I'll definitely follow up with what Andrew wrote.
Yeah, we just wanted to pose the question. It wasn't necessarily meant to be answered today, but just to, you know, get it out there.
Yeah.
So thank you. And that brings us up to Gillette Castle, an update on the Gillette Castle.
All right. Yeah, so Gillette Castle still remains within BEP. We did not waive the location. Brandy, you know, withdrew her interest this season. I think it was in March. The same time in which she withdrew her interest, I reached out to Deep to notify them of Brandy's determination. They didn't get back to me. And then I think it was like sometime in April or maybe May, I finally spoke to Deep. And obviously it's too late to do anything. No, it wasn't May, it was in April. It was too late for them to make a determination, and obviously too late for us to replace. And Brandy's reasons of not wanting to resume to me constituted reasons enough for me not to immediately go out for operator replacement this season. So I notified Deep that we will continue to seek operator replacement towards the end of this summer, based off of any, to see if there's any changes with their populations and how they handle the tours. And then we'll see if it's an opportunity in which A, presents itself for the following season, or B, even if we have any operator interest. But at this time, it's still under our regime, and I will reach back out to Deep at some point to have further discussions. So we didn't waive it. We had it professionally cleaned, because that's what you should do whenever you dismiss yourself from any food service establishment. And our equipment remains in there, and no one's operating this location at this time.
Perfect. Thank you. And that moves us to Operator Spotlight.
So I got a couple. First, I want to spotlight Amos Fatorma. Recently, I've had some communications with Southern Connecticut State University in regards to some things outside of Amos. But in speaking with their senior director of conferences and events and student affairs, this gentleman made a side note in his email response. How Amos has been a great addition to the team, and they were thanking us for connecting him with them. So, you know, Amos has gotten numerous acknowledgments in past just from customer service standpoints and the other various business aspects. But this is, you know, again, another pat on Amos's back for, you know, representing our program in such great light. We all know that taking this opportunity with Southern was really a roll of the dice, in the sense of, you know, kind of establishing our position and making our presence known in positive light. And Amos has taken on this role and has done just that. So I think it's good. I think we should all applaud Amos because he could really be the light for other opportunities in other state colleges in the near future. You know, seeing the benefit of an operator in our program highlighted not from Sodexo, but from the college itself is a big compliment. So Amos, if you're on the call, you know, thank you. You know, we do appreciate that, and keep doing what you're doing. I haven't been down to see you, but I promise I will. Just know that you're being recognized, and they see the value of your skills at the college. So, congratulations on just being acknowledged and serving the program and being good light for the program.
Well done, Amos.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for letting us be in your world.
Thank you. That was unexpected. And really unexpected. Maybe I needed that. I've been battling a little bit mentally, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm meeting up to expectation, you know, and trying, but then just yesterday I was reflecting on some comments just before the end of the semester the district manager made to me, you know, from Sodexo, Jen. She came personally and congratulated me on the project I've been assigned me since I went there. You know, I thought that was encouraging because, you know, I've been thinking about funny ways, you know, to just give you some info, you know, on how the entire culture is and the environment there are starting. It can be very challenging, and sometimes you wonder if you are, you know, if you're doing the right thing,
right?
You know, with the union, and I mean the union. I don't know. Some of the staff came and told me that the union at Southern Connecticut State University is the most difficult union in the state and one of the most difficult union in the nation that you can work. Yeah. You know, so, you know, just working with them and working amongst the rest of staff as a whole, sometimes, you know, I sit and start reflecting on things. You know, I'm doing the right thing if I'm representing them, because I was sitting thinking just last week, I said, if I mess up anything, it's not just Amos, it's going to be the program, because I'm not going to be here forever. Someone else is going to come, and with something, I need to do something at least. They won't have, you know, finger pointed at best be, you know. But, you know, I really did not expect this to come on, and I think it just encouraged me. But honestly, everything been going to some extent really well.
No, it's good. I think, and you know, I think, Amos, the reality is we kind of knew that prior to you taking that position, that their unions out there are very aggressive. But I think you now living it day to day and being, you know, in the mix of it, you're identifying it firsthand. But without a doubt in my mind, your personality and your ability to effectively communicate, I'm sure has been, well, apparently is being recognized and noticed. So just keep doing what you're doing, and you know, and just know that there's other eyes outside of, you know, maybe those that you directly work with that are paying attention to your attributes.
Thank you everyone.
Next I wanted to acknowledge our chairman here, who really shocked me in the sense of what I recently, well, I watched it a while back, but for many of you who may or may not know, Keith, Chairman Haley, and his girlfriend were selected to participate in a small documentary film that was called The Perfect Vision. From what I watched, and I will share the YouTube clip, not clip, but story with you all in our minutes. You know, the story essentially covered their, you know, Keith and his girlfriend's passion for ice hockey, and essentially their perseverance to, you know, to enjoy life, you know, despite, you know, having a visual disability. With that being said, the mini documentary just won an Emmy Award this weekend for the best sports story in the Boston, New England region area. So, I mean, that's a phenomenal, it's a phenomenal winning. Better yet, the story was just very, very, it was handled very well. It was documented very well. It was recorded. I mean, it looks like a movie, Keith. I mean, it's an actual movie. It's amazing. You know, Keith, that was amazing, and I just kind of wanted to acknowledge that. Well-deserved. You represent yourself and obviously many people that, you know, fight the challenge of being legally blind, but I think that documentary was surely encouraging for anyone that, you know, you can do whatever you want, essentially. You know what I mean? Don't let any disability deter you from what you love in life and what's out there for you in life. So that was an incredible documentary, and I will share it with you all. And we may even share it amongst the agency. I'll forward it to Carol, and, you know, Carol may want to share it with the commissioner as well. I think it should definitely get broad view because it's definitely positive light. And it's one of our own. So, Keith, great job. And congrats again.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And you'll just have to check the budget because if we do an in-person meeting in September, there'll probably be an appearance fee.
All right. Well, that means we don't eat here. That means we don't eat. It's or we have Keith for 10. I mean, we're going to need a committee vote for that one. I don't know. Yeah, well, great job, man. It was awesome. Very, very good. Very, very good. All right. What we got? A couple more? Okay, so I'm pretty much there for Operator Spotlight. We can...
Agency update is next.
As far as agency update, I can just kind of talk overall. Besby, you know, we continue, or ADS continues to look to hire and replace a lot of previously retired out positions. Fiscal department still remains a little light. I will be assisting in interviews for a position in fiscal. So hopefully we can get that person on board and we kind of could pick up a little speed on in that area. But overall, you know, I think we're picking up. We're doing well. Carol still is good. Is she on the call? Oh, yeah, she is. Carol, I didn't say that because you were on a call, but she's good. But overall, Besby's picking up, and we're trying to get back to where we were, and I think we're doing a good job of that. And obviously, everything takes time. You know, state government, it takes time because it takes signatures, and it takes, you know, a lot of people's yeses before we can get things moving. But I think we're starting to slowly pick up, so that's a good thing.
All right, and that brings us to open forum. If there's any non-committee member that didn't get a chance to speak that would like to have something to say, or even if it is a committee member, it's open forum. So if anyone has any questions, comments, now's your chance. You would just have
this
to...
This is Frank. I got both a question and a comment. I'll start with the comment. I just wanted to thank the field reps for compiling those vending route lists, because I'm one of maybe the few operators that seen the master list and knew how hard a visually impaired person to go through that and try and pick locations. And what I was presented with was very clear and easy to read, and I could follow it very simple. So thank you very much for that. And question, when we just passed on a train station, but I don't know a lot about train stations, but it seems that there's a lot of infrastructure in making the railroads better, and I know Windsor Locks, there's a lot of hype there about their station. Is that something we're keeping on the radar for machine placement?
Typically, you know, the process is anybody, state, federal, municipal, who requires a vending machine should come to us first right. We do keep our eyes on, to your point, Frank, any of these new infrastructure.